So technically I'm recording in the key of C at 120 BPM, but
me too. This is going to work great.
I'll just adjust our voices like a little bit. Maybe I'll just add like, here we go. Here's our stupid little intro where I apply like a pitch correct. And I just have my voice go like up and down, like right here. We don't know what we're doing. Like that's the end of the day. We don't know what we're doing. That's what makes it wild and fun.
I'm all here for that. No one wants to hear the normal podcast where
no.
We want to auto-tune podcast. We're going to be the T-Pain of podcast episodes.
That'd be fun.
Oh.
By Laura on a Tuesday, Wednesday.
It's so odd finding the light of
Thursday, Friday.
We settle in the ashes.
It's our way to talk a lot here.
Yeah. So, I guess, welcome to Fueled by Lore. Okay, it's a podcast.
It is a podcast
where I tend to fall into weird voices for no good reason. I did that like 4 or 5 times when we were on the Kyle Rocks Out show.
It's the DM urge.
I guess. The voices. I even did it like when we were playing live shows and stuff, and sometimes I'd get weird looks. Sometimes you get laughs. You just take it, so.
You just take whatever you can.
That's the thing.
But anyways, this is Fueled by Lore, the podcast where we poke and prod creatives to find out what their inspirations and creative processes are. And so today our guest is Tim Ostike.
Hey, thanks Woo! For having me, guys.
Woo!
Oh boy, I just need my microphone. We're making a grand entrance today. Thanks for having me. I love that you guys are doing a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You're making a new thing.
Yeah, it's been pretty fun.
Nice.
You know, just try new things. Have you been up to anything new lately, Tim?
Ooh, let's see here. The main thing, I've a couple things. Mm-hmm. I'm working on an album right now, which we can talk plenty about. Yeah, a whole full-length album called The Lost Days.
Ooh.
Yeah, so a bunch on that. I'm doing some teaching for a nonprofit called Ankova Empowerment Project, where we work with at-risk youth and teach them a creative skill. And they learn the whole thing is learn, create, share. So they learn a skill, and then we create a project. They've done, like, films and music and, you know, art and visual and digital. And then we share it with the community. So that's been fun. What else have I been doing? I feel like these days I do a different thing every day. It feels very scattered. Oh, I'm also putting out a video every single Thursday on my YouTube channel.
Hey, what's your YouTube channel?
It's Tim Ostike, TimOstidike, on YouTube.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So those are probably the main things I'm doing. And making coffee.
Of course. Always slinging those coffees, right?
That's the game. Yeah.
Caffeinating others is oh boy. Go for it.
Oh no, I just like I think it's really cool that you're doing that like nonprofit like stuff. Yes. That's really cool that you're like helping out, you know, and like teaching like people creative things and like cuz that's what we're all about here is like making shit and like being creative and like putting shit out into the world, you know.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, I love doing it. It's like it's scary for me cuz I haven't done a lot of teaching. And especially working with younger kids, I'm just like, how do I relate to you and teach you all of these things? And it's such a, I think it's so beautiful that the project is really, that the organization is really open. So a kid can come in with any kind of creative spark and we will follow that direction. And the main student I'm working with this time is a dancer and I have never done any of anything with dance. So we're kind of putting together music and she's writing a song and we're going to create a whole video around her dancing and it's crazy, but it's awesome.
Yeah, that sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it when like the arts and kind of things can just kind of be so complimentary. And I feel like that's something that's super cool is that you can, you sometimes don't even realize it. Like, especially like, I guess in high school, I definitely learned, or I guess kind of saw firsthand, like the, you know, music and dance coming together. It's this cool thing. And like, I, you know, still being, I've been exposed to it a lot, but dance is just something that I'm way out of my depth in. So like, I can imagine, how is that like working? So the student is bringing a dance. Is that what you
so
were saying?
We're just kind of coming together to create something original. So we haven't actually started working on the dance part yet. So now it's just kind of getting to know each other and getting a feel for like what she wants to create, because she's done a lot of kind of work in like dance studios and stuff like that. But what we're all about is just creating a new thing where she can use these skills and express, you know, what's it, get the thing that's inside out in a way. Yeah, so we're just kind of in the thick of that process, and it's so fun. I love working in just different kind of mediums, and because the more, I feel like the more you create in different mediums, you realize they're all kind of the same and they're so different. But there are these, is like a core to all of them, that I think the lines between a lot of creative endeavors can be pretty blur, which I love.
Yeah, it's always like really awesome to be able to like relate and collaborate with people of different mediums. And, you know, like some of the books that I read in school, you know, from like, were like from dancers and stuff, but all sort of talking about like The Creative Habit or whatever by Twyla Tharp. That's the book I read, whatever. And it's just like, we think alike, you know, and that's really cool.
Yeah.
That like we can all share this sort of creative passion. I think it's great.
Yeah. I always like, lately I've been getting much more into like stand-up comedy.
Oh, yeah?
Or like just like a chunk of comedians. Like there's the main ones, like Mike Birbiglia and Pete Holmes and a couple others. But like lately I've been looking at what I do as like a solo singer-songwriter through the lens of like, you know, I can use a lot of what they do to like put on a show and like convey something within. I can use like a lot of those tools as my solo singer songwriter act. And like lately I've gotten more inspiration from that than like music, which is kind of weird.
What about it is like inspiring you in that way? Like, is it just like their performance?
And kind of the performance and the writing, because there's not a huge difference between, well, there's a huge difference between a joke and a song. But in a way, you know, there are like certain mechanics that you use to convey an idea and get some kind of reaction. And, you know, like we're using kind of the same tools. I'm using a melody and some lyrics to hopefully get something across, and they're using a joke and metaphor and stuff like that to hopefully get something across. And I don't know where I'm going with this fully, but there's something in there.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. It's just sort of like we think alike, you know, as performers, us creatives, the people who make things for like the enjoyment of ourselves, but also others specifically, you know?
Yeah. Art is art is the art of, you know, creating something like a bridge between like what you're feeling or what you're thinking into like some sort of, I want to use the word visualization, but honestly, I feel like it's just, you know, expression would be that's the better word, of just like, no matter what your form is, it's just kind of like a, like, oh, I feel this thing and I kind of want to, you know, untangle that in an expression kind of thing, or like, oh, I want to say something, this like means a lot to me, so I want to say it in something, and I'm not sure how to say it in words, or maybe you do know how to say it in words. I don't know, I lost my train of thought there too, but it's just kind of, no matter what you're looking at it, whether it's like comedy, I think it's super cool, or, you know, whether you're drawing or, you know, writing or performing a song, it's just kind of, it's a unique way to express an idea or a feeling or something. So
yeah,
I think it's just easy to, you know, like you said, draw lines between these disciplines when they're really, like, honestly, they're super blurry if they exist at all, ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. And it's the same way that, you know, people draw lines between genres and music. I feel like now we're kind of getting into this age where genres aren't that much of a thing anymore.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I felt like, you know, I don't make music, so I don't, like, pay that much, but I listen to a lot of it and I'm like, I don't even know what this shit is anymore, you know, but like, I love it, you know. Yeah. It's just very interesting, but like, sorry, continue on your, what you were saying.
No, you're good. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, cause especially, I feel like in my little micro world is like this singer songwriter folk world, and we call it Americana and folk, and no one knows what that really means. Like, like Americana can be Jason Isbell, who's playing this like rock and roll song, or it can be, you know, it can be so many things that it's like, what's the point of any of that? You know, what's the point of calling it rock, or what's the point of calling it anything when we're just trying to get the thing inside out? I feel like I had more on that, but yeah.
No, actually, I kind of want to like build on that because that's something that I run into a lot too, especially when I'm like submitting music to, you know, Spotify or anything. And they're just like, oh, what genre of music are you? And half the time I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know, man. Like, sometimes I feel like it's pretty easy. Like, with my old band, we were just like, yeah, we're rock. That's kind of a no-brainer. But after that, we're just like, I don't know. Because it's also interesting, because I feel like it also plays into what you want to be defined as.
Hmm.
So, like, especially with Maddie's Change, like, we all kind of definitely came from, like, a pop-punk-rooted thing. But then later on, I know I was just kind of like, ooh, not really feeling the pop punk thing anymore. And like our music obviously like matured with us and stuff. And so I think that genres are, you know, it's hard because, you know, I think it's super cool when you watch like an artist like grow and mature and change from like one genre. Like I think a very good example would be the band Paramore, who started off super kind of punky. And then now they have like this, the most recent album was like this almost like 80s synth pop kind of thing. And I loved it. So I'm interested, like when you're going in to start like, you know, maybe a new project or setting up, do you think that, you know, facing that hard line of like, oh, what genre are you? Does that kind of affect, I guess, how you view your sound, view yourself and kind of your expression? Does that kind of draw a box for you?
For me, I don't think so. I feel like I'm kind of inclined, like the language I speak, I think, is that folk Americana singer-songwriter, which is a nice kind of open box because it can welcome in rock and it can welcome in soul music and it can welcome in the blues. It can welcome in a lot of pop. So I think for me, it's always about playing an acoustic guitar and singing about something that's true to me. And that feels very simple. And it's never felt limiting to me, which is nice. I can see myself. So for the project I'm working on right now, it's a batch of songs that are more or less about, I'm about to turn 30, and it's, you know, kind of grappling with the awesome and kind of depressing things about turning 30. And yeah, you know, I'm sure people out there have turned 30 before, and you know, you're young and it's exciting, but you're also like, you have a real moment to judge yourself and where you're at. So this album is a lot of me examining that, and just being a dude with a guitar has felt like a great way to get that out. And I could see myself hopefully in the future doing projects where I, you know, will be more adventurous with like production with my music and create something that doesn't necessarily fit into the singer-songwriter folk world. Yeah, but for now it feels, yeah, it's always been the thing I understand and the place I like to sit, I guess.
Hey, it's what feels right to you, you know? And that's awesome that you found something like that that sort of feels like home to you, you know? That like, this is where it's at, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it just leaves plenty of space, you know? Because it's the idea of this genre. I was just talking about how I'm like, genres don't exist. The idea of the genre I'm in is that it's, you know, song-based and story-based and you know, it's it's helpful to start there, you know, the song and the idea and what's the root of the thing. And then the music can take its place from there.
Well, yeah, well, that's what, like, I mean, making art is, right? Like exploring stories and like being able to tell them in your mediums and stuff, which mm-hmm. is always really awesome to be able to express ourselves in that way, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Love making shit.
Making shit. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, how is... Oh, what were you going to say,
Pat? No, go for it. I had a question, but it's like... Just out there?
No,
I don't know what it is.
Question. I'm
no, I don't... It's like... Not like out there. It's not like off the wall kind of question. It's just...
Oh, I understand.
How do I make this a question? It's a thought.
It's a concept.
I had it. I don't remember what it was. I like half remember, and I'm like, ooh, that's a good one. And now it's gone. Give me a sec.
Sure. We'll come back to that.
Yeah.
But I actually wanted to go back to something you were saying, Patty, that was really interesting, is like the progression of like experimenting with things. And Tim, you were saying that like you've sort of been in this sandbox for like a while. Have you always sort of played around this, or have you like mm-hmm. sort of like come to this point?
Yeah, I think I've pretty much always been in the sandbox. I remember getting this just crappy microphone when I was in like 8th grade, I think, and finding a way to connect it to the computer and make a sound. And that's like the most exciting thing that ever happened to me.
The first fucking step.
Yeah. And then ever since then, it's, you know, it's always been about being in the sandbox, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Never being too sure of what I'm trying to make or where I'm going. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's all about toying around and experimenting and yeah, I love that.
Yeah. Trying new shit. Yeah.
Got some of that good lore, the origin story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like I think I like plugged in like a rock band microphone to an old laptop straight into Audacity, and that those are that's where it started.
Yeah.
It's like, I can get this into the computer. Because I think that was like, how did you get that connection to work? Because I know that was I know being like a kid and then just being like, wow, how do I get this into like a CD? And I think there's probably somewhere back with like tape players where I'm sure we figured out how to do that. My brother and I figured out how to do something like that where you could record on the tape and then play it back. And that was about the closest we got for a while, and then eventually figured out that microphones were a thing. And but like how did you come about that? Because I feel like it's definitely different coming up in a world where you can, you know, easily record yourself on a phone, and then like you borderline just have GarageBand on like an iPhone. You literally do have GarageBand on an iPhone.
Yeah.
And you can like, I don't know, make a podcast or write a song on your iPhone. And that simply wasn't something that was possible in, like, 2002.
Yeah. It's crazy. For me, it was, like, I think I was at Walmart and found this, like, it just, like, kind of a stick with, like, a little bass. Have you seen those ones?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about. We definitely had one in my childhood.
Yeah. I want to say it was, like, no more than $20. And it had like a headphone jack. So my parents had this old Microsoft computer at the time. And there was like one headphone jack. Then there's this blue jack, I think, that you could put the microphone into.
Yeah.
So I plugged it into the blue one, and I got Audacity. And after a while, I like figured out how to make a noise and put something in. And it sounded so bad. It was like just so like hissy and crackly. Like whenever I talked, it was like pretty much. It's crazy. Yeah. And then I think I got a MacBook Pro. No, MacBook. I don't know. One of the like I was a freshman in high school and got the intro level MacBook, and it had GarageBand, and I spent, oh my gosh, so long making like weird songs with the loops that were built into it. And they were amazing. I think that's some of the best work I've ever done, of just putting together just a little bongo loop, and then there's this dude playing like the organ, and what else? There's always a good, oh yeah. Just like the cheesiest loops, and you can make songs with it.
Nice. Revisit those for your next album, you know?
Okay.
Yes.
No one will ever hear those.
No. We'll all just like pick a day like 5 years in the future, all of us that like, and just we'll just release all of our weird demos that we've collected over the years and just make it this huge giant like 4-hour compilation, so it's all buried and people can be like, that was weird, I don't know who that was, but that was weird, and we'll release it under some weird name.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
That's such a good idea. Just like a completely anonymous thing.
Everyone has to submit at least 10 demos. We have to have at least like 100 something tracks, or else we're not releasing.
Yes. Oh, that's such a good idea.
It has to be a deep delve.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is going to be a great project. What do we call it?
Oh, man, I don't know.
It's a lot of pressure.
I released a demo comp dump in like December because my roommate walked in and just like, oh, so you're recording an album, this, that, and the other thing. And he's like, oh, yeah. His friend like was like, oh, does music, and said, you know, if you just work on it for too long, sometimes you end up just not releasing it. And I had been like, oh, I need to collect some more of these demos and like labeling it like a demo comp kind of thing. And then I was like, shit, you're right. Okay, I'm going to just drop it. And so I dropped it at the end of the year and I called it the uh-oh demos, which I feel like just something just kind of, we'll just call the demo compilation oops.
That's such a great idea. The oops demos.
It's just a key smash.
There we go.
That's how I name everything.
Nice.
Yeah. Save title.
Ooh, that's actually something I definitely want to talk about. But here first, while this idea is like in my brain at the moment.
Yes.
So we'll get multiple volumes of it. The first one will be called Oopsie. The second volume will be called Whoopsie. And we'll just keep going.
Whoopsie poopsie.
But anyways, I was also interested. I struggle a lot with naming things, particularly like songs. So I'm interested, like, do you have like a art to naming your songs or albums, or is there like a pattern you follow? Because mine is historically just nonsense.
Yeah, mine has been nonsense like yours for the most part, I think. For the first two things I put out, I finished an EP called Temporary Home, then a full-length album called Roots Below. And when I finished both of those projects, I had no idea what to call them. Because there wasn't like, you know, you can find a song title and be like, I'll call it this, I'll call it the name of the best song. But I wanted to find something that like kind of captured the whole project in a way. So for both of those projects, it was kind of an afterthought. And I was like, this is a random title that sounds kind of cool and kind of speaks to what it's about. So it's close enough. Yeah, when it comes to naming songs, some of them just like tell you what their name's supposed to be. You know, there's a song we're called Until the Harvest Comes, or the, you know, last line of the chorus, there's a big stop, Until the Harvest Comes, and something like that's probably what I should call that song. There's a song on my new album, though, that I could not come up with a name for at all. It was, you know, kind of along with the same theme of approaching your quarter life crisis, I'll call it. And this one kind of examines who I am in relationships, which is fun. And, you know, and I got to the end of it and there's no real title. There's nothing that, you know, really stood out. And I had seen a couple artists who just have songs that are named him and then a number. And the song had this like really repetitive, it had the form of like what I could call it him, I guess. Not like spiritual in any way, but it felt hymny to me. So I was like, I'm going to call it Hymn 27 because that was the age I was. Mm. And that felt cool.
I like that. Thanks. I really like getting like those like behind the scenes, like this is why this one's called this. And like, that's kind of why, I don't know. I've always like kind of fantasized, especially when I was in Maddie's Change, because our song names or something else.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it's a, like we have an EP that's named the name. We named it based on like a text I sent to the guys when I was like super drunk and super depressed. And then we're like, there it is.
That's the name. So,
I've just fantasized about like reliving like how we came to name some of those things. Cause I personally think some of them are pretty funny. Cause it's kind of just a goofy little like, yeah, we honestly don't know how we landed there, but it's called that, and well, we can't change it now. And so I'm awesome. Always interested in seeing how people name things because, I mean, I feel like to an extent there's an art to it that's just like, oh, that's the right name. And sometimes it's just like, fuck it. This one's called popcorn.
Popcorn, hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's awesome. I think that's such, yeah, go.
Oh, no, I just wanted to delve deep about titles and stuff, too, because, like, I think that, like, I love, obviously, like, art can have interesting, like, and I love long, like, sentence names and stuff, but, like, that's a different tangent. But I'm curious, like, what are your guys' favorite things that you've named? Like, what just hits the spot?
I need to look at names of songs I've released.
let me check my notes. Yeah.
The one that, like, Hymn 27 is the one that stands out that I'm like, that's a cool that's really title good. Because it, you know, it kind of speaks to, it doesn't fully make any sense, but it kind of speaks to what the song's about, but it doesn't at all. I'm on a podcast and being recorded, and I'm like, what are you saying, Tim? It kind of makes sense. It doesn't make sense.
No, it
does. I get that. I like that. That's kind of where it, like, kind of fit, it, like, half fits, but it doesn't. So I think that's also, it lends a little bit, too, to where it's kind of just, like, you could get your listeners to maybe, like, dive into it even more, and then they can extract more meaning that you didn't even, like, intend to be in the song, which I think is super cool.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Like, that actually reminds me, so there's one of the podcasts that was definitely an inspiration for this one is the one called Song Exploder. Yeah. And they had Rivers Cuomo on there for one of his songs, and I was fascinated by his songwriting process because he said he just like listens to all these songs and picks out like, oh, that's a cool chord progression, and he has like an Excel spreadsheet file where he's like, this is the song that it's from, this is the chord progression, here's like a random idea or something, and then he'll like just basically sometimes just sit down with like a phone or like in a studio and just like play a chord progression or something and then basically like ad lib like nonsense like melodies, like they're, it's just all scatting, and then that'll turn into like the guitar solo or this thing. And one thing that he mentioned that I thought was super cool was, which I did not anticipate coming from him because I listened to a lot of Weezer, I love that band, but he said that he's happy with songs that he doesn't fully understand because he feels like if he fully understands the songs that he writes, then he didn't write it properly. And I thought that was like a super interesting take on songwriting. Because I think, especially, like, coming into, or at least starting out in songwriting when I was younger, it's just like, oh, these songs, like, these artists are geniuses. They know exactly what everything means, like, every possible kind of thing. And then you get into it, and you're just like, that line fits, but it doesn't really make sense. Cool.
Yeah. I love that. I have the same kind of love for songs like that, that make sense and they don't make sense, and... Yeah, I've like recently been stumbling on the idea that, you know, it's important that the thing feels right, and there's lines that'll, you know, will be right in the song and won't make sense. There are like chord progressions that won't be right that will be, or that won't make sense that will be right for the song. And it's like, I feel like in music and so many different forms of art, like it's about getting to this place where it feels true to you, and if you can explain it with words, then it loses something in a way. I think it's like, you know, I feel like it's the same way to think about God, or, well, you know, God can be anything, whatever. If you can like if you can look at what God's face is, or you can like, if you can draw it, then it's not the thing. Yeah, there's, I don't know where I'm going here. Again, this is the theme for today's podcast. Tim just ventures off on a tangent and then
that's
forgets
the whole
where he is.
That's podcasting. Like, that's like the amount of time, like that's, that has to happen at least like 3 or 4 times or else it's just not a podcast, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just the art of talking. It's all it is.
But it's like, we're here on Earth and we don't know what we're doing here. We don't know what happens when we die. We don't know why we're here. There's so much that like is beyond the way we understand things, that I think art is a good way to, you know, point in the direction of something true, and you don't have to know what it actually is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That reminds me, there's this one line that my friends wrote for their band. I think the song is called Happiness Directions. It's on their EP. The band's called Finding Common Ground, but the line they had was, happiness is a direction, not a destination. And like that, like I remember just hearing that and being like, oh my gosh, that blew my mind. Yeah. And just because I think it's just that, you know, in the long run, I think that people are so get almost like addicted to goal orientation that it's like even when they're like creating something or just going through and trying to, you know, have a career in something, that they set these like guide marks or guideposts where it's just like, oh, I'll know I'm successful or I'll know I'm happy if I do A, B, and C. But I think the like what you're saying is just like that it's the same thing as like if you can draw it or you can write it down in like a complete sentence, then it's not, you know, it kind of takes away from, dare I say, the journey kind of thing, where you don't need to reach a certain point. You don't need to, you know, check off that mark. It's just the fact that you're pursuing it or trying to understand it, trying to make sense of it kind of thing that matters. And you're, and I guess boiled down to art, that's just, you're expressing it somehow. It doesn't have to make complete sense. And that's what's, you know, beautiful about it. It's like, I can write a nonsense verse and it expresses exactly what I was feeling, which is something that you can't put like a finger on or something. And I'm like, oh, you know, that helped me express that. And then someone will listen to it and be like, oh, this made me feel the exact opposite of what I maybe felt when I wrote it kind of thing. And, you know, that just means it works. It was, it did its job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I love when you like write something either from the artist's perspective or as like the audience, when something is created and the audience, you know, experiences it in the meaning to the audience is totally different than what the artist mm-hmm. intended. I love that.
Yes. Oh, that's like, yeah. Cause like, I don't know. And I'm also interested. So like for me, I guess this is going a little bit off topic, but yeah, that's like one thing that is like so important to me is that I love, you know, when a song kind of has just this open interpretation. So I think I consciously, when I write, kind of try to avoid like this whole idea to write specifically about this topic kind of thing. It's like, oh, I'm writing specifically about this. Like usually that's like my jumping off point kind of thing. It's like, oh, this thing happened, you know, makes me feel this kind of thing. Or like I'm trying to tell like this story, but it doesn't have to be all that. What I'm trying to say is trying to keep it open mm-hmm. so that it's open to interpretation. So it's not just like the walls were blue and then, you know, that literal like direct kind of thing where it's just like there's no other way to interpret that.
Yeah.
And I think that's just that means a lot to me when, like you said, when listeners kind of get something completely new from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the point. This made me think of this song by Aeneas Mitchell called Now You Know, which is just this whole stream of consciousness and you don't quite know where it's going, where it's going to land, and at the end you're just in like a pile of tears. Oh. So look up the song Now You Know by Aeneas Mitchell and just die for a while. Oh. It's the best.
Oh, I love that. I think that's also a pretty good segue here for... So one question, I can't even remember if we asked Sarah this, but since I think I asked Beth this in the first episode, I just openly admitted it multiple times now. I actually don't know if I ever answered it. I've just answered that I cry to books, but what was the first book that made you cry?
I don't know if I've ever cried while reading a book.
Really?
I don't think I have.
Ooh, hey.
Maybe we'll have to adjust the question. What was the first story that you experienced? Any medium, like TV, movie, play that, you know, moved you to tears?
Mm.
Or song?
Well, anytime a dog dies.
Oh, my God. Yes. I'm trying to remember. Oh. Well, no, but, like, I can relate to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's number one. I'm trying to think. The one I remember... really good. Well, that Aeneas Mitchell one is, you know, one of the recent. It's tough for movies to make me cry, I think. Songs make me cry so often. Books don't often make, and I don't often, I feel like I don't read enough books that would be inclined to make me cry. Like the last book I read was this Rob Bell one about spirituality. Then I read like about Paul Simon's life, and you know, none of those are going to get me super close to tears. But, oh, I guess my girlfriend Jenny just released a book called Norrin's Legend.
Hey.
And halfway through that, I felt like crying.
Oh. But Is it like a novel?
It's a novel, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's really good.
Where can we find it? Let's plug it now.
Yeah, on Amazon. Type in N-O-R-Y-N apostrophe S legend. It's on Amazon, or you can go to her website, which is just norrinslegend.com, or Facebook or Instagram. I think they're all the same thing.
Okay.
And you can find it all there. But yeah, it's super good. I'm like halfway through it. And there was just a moment that, yeah, that got me. I don't want to spoil anything. But the song was No Hard Feelings. I'm looking up lyrics since... So I can cry again on the podcast.
No, don't worry. I have to look up my own lyrics half the time.
Yeah.
Which means digging through like the notes app and being like, that, there's a grocery list from 6 months ago. Cool.
Yeah. But yeah, the song No Feeling, Hard Feelings by the Avett Brothers. I saw them perform it live at Red Rocks. Oh. And I know. And it's just such a perfect place. And so much of this song is, you know, kind of about dying without regrets. Anyways, it's always too cheesy to read lyrics. I was like, I'm not going to read lyrics. But yeah, the song No Hard Feelings by the Avett Brothers just, yeah, destroyed me. What have you guys got that makes you cry?
Oh, so many things. Recently, the thing that most recently made me ugly cry was the TV show She-Ra, which we talked about a lot on our last episode, because the person we interviewed, Sara, is the one I saw her like tweet about it, and I was like, okay, I need to see the show. But like, it was like a remake and it's on Netflix, and you should definitely watch it, because it just like, I don't know, it just hits home like real hard. Mm. Beth, have you started watching it yet?
No. Oh, unfortunately. Sorry, I'm like addicted to Critical Role. We know that.
I mean, other than that, some other books that made me cry recently were Pachinko, Normal People, just that show adaptation on Hulu was really good too. Oh man, there was another one. Oh, Dear Edward. That one comes for you. Just a fair warning.
Oh, yeah.
So good though. Yeah, there's just so many out there.
Yeah, I love a good fucking cry experiencing something. I'm like, oh, emotions.
I actually feel like really proud because of my, I guess, pride, but my roommate like texted me yesterday and was like, do you have any more books I can borrow and cry to? I was like, oh yeah.
Oh, do I?
Got plenty of those for you. Yeah.
Yes. And also poetry books. I am a sucker for poetry books. Oh. I've started through the Rupi Kaur. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. Rupi Kaur or Kaur? K-A-U-R. Okay. She has books like Milk and Honey and Homebody, and then I also really, really, really love the Pillow Thoughts collection of books by Courtney Peppernell. I just randomly found those at like Second and Charles, and I found one of them and I was like, oh, that makes me feel a lot. So there's four of them, but they're so good. They're so good.
Oh, that's awesome. I'm gonna have to take this down. I'm just like, for some reason, I've never gotten deep into poetry until just like a couple months ago, I was like, I'm going to get a bunch of Mary Oliver books.
Hey.
And got the Thousand Mornings one, I think. And boy, there's some in there that, yeah, that'll just bring you to the ground. And it's like in such a gentle way.
Mm-hmm.
And it like surprises you, I think.
Yeah.
I love.
That's what I fucking love about poetry, you know? It's like, it's like a surprise and it kind of lulls you into it sometimes. I'm just like, my poetry phase in college was super fun.
And just like bring it back with like blurring the lines between these different art forms is like poetry, like songs are just poems with a backing track essentially. Like,
yeah,
don't think about that one too hard, but to an extent, yeah.
More, yeah,
because we aim for rhyming schemes, or you don't. Sometimes it's all, yeah, it's all in the presentation.
Yeah, yeah. And I've been thinking about this lately. I feel like I took a songwriting course where they were talking about how you should be able to read the lyrics, and they should hold up. They should sound, you know, good, whatever that means. But the more I'm like sitting with it, I don't think you should. When you read lyrics, I don't think they need to, you know, some of them are so cringeworthy, and then you sing them and they feel right. And I feel like the more I write music, I'm like, I'm okay if you read it and it sounds awful. If you sing it and if it sounds true or it sounds right, then that's okay.
Yeah, I think that's interesting because I felt that too, where it's just like I read a line and I'm like, but then you either like hear it or you sing it yourself and you're just like, oh yeah, yeah. It's almost just like, I don't know, it's a weird place for shame to kind of just butt in, because like it's odd that like in singing it or like versus saying it, it just has this way of like getting in there, and I don't know, I don't understand why, but
that's really interesting.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah,
like, that's, it's just reading the lyric and be like, is it really that?
Oh, brute. Yeah. Because you, yeah, and I wonder if there's something to, like, why we love singing music, because we can say these things that are true, that if we were to read them aloud, like, yeah, we'd feel that shame. But singing, like, detaches us from ourselves enough and our ego and, you know, what we think we should sound like. But if we sing, we have less control. Yeah, there's something really beautiful in that.
I like that. I like that a lot. It's kind of like a, because I feel like a lot of art is also just, it's almost, you know, it's our way to, I guess, kind of like what we were saying, is part of our way to like make sense of the world, whether that's like, you know, by creating a fantasy world that is in some ways like a metaphor or something. Like, no matter what, everything that we make is grounded in reality. And so it's just kind of our interpretation and expression of it, I guess. So it's kind of. All right. Ooh, I am also going to nerd out here, but I'm super interested about how you go about like writing songs. Like, how do you, like, is there like a specific process that you follow? Is there just kind of like a, you know, do you prefer writing like stories, or do you prefer writing about like just an emotion sort of thing, or situations maybe?
Yeah.
Or like, how is one of your songs, like, the idea of it? How is it born? How does it come to be?
yeah. I think it, you know, for me, it usually kind of reflects what I'm living through. The, like, undercurrent of what I'm writing about is usually the thing that's been on my mind or the thing that I'm struggling with. But then, hopefully, it sounds not like just a journal. The way it usually starts is I'll just be playing guitar, and I'll find a melody or something that sounds right. Because, yeah, almost every song, I think, has started just from putzing around on the guitar, finding a chord progression or a riff or some little melody line that feels right to me, that feels, you know, feels like it's true in a way. And then usually I'll have to get, like, start singing nonsense. And then I kind of like to write, like, develop the form of the whole song before I actually go in and write lyrics. Because I think it's just the way I, like, it's really easy for me to put together a song musically, and the structure and the dynamics and what the chord changes should be. That comes really natural to me. And I feel like I can say about what I want to say within that. And lyrics are much more difficult for me. So usually I'll write horrible, just whatever lyrics. But musically, I'll be like, I have something here. And then it's kind of just whittling away at the verses and the chorus and everything else. Yeah, I usually write a first verse that I feel really strong about. Because if I don't get a first verse that I feel really strong about, I'll give up on the thing and it won't make it too far. But yeah, usually I have a good first verse. And then lately I've been like, so you have inspiration, you write the thing, you're excited, but you only have like part of it. And lately I've been walking away once I have the first little bit of nugget of the idea that I really like, and not try and force writing it. And then maybe a week later, I'll come back to like the voice memo or the note I had about the song, and it'll feel like it's time to work on it, or it won't. And I'm trying to be patient and only work on something if I feel like, you know, I can get inside of that world. Hmm. There are times where I just wanted to finish songs and I was just going to power through and I was going to make it a thing. And now I'm trying to just let songs become what they will. Yeah. Does that kind of answer it?
Yeah. Yeah. Like that's something that I'm super interested about because I know like from my experience, like being in a band, we have poked at trying different ways to write songs because, you know, sometimes I've talked to other bands and stuff about how they write songs. And one of the main things that I see happen, especially with like collaborative, you know, groups and stuff, is that one person is like the songwriter and they'll bring a song and then everyone else kind of fills it out. Mm-hmm. And so that was one thing that was super interesting to me with my last project, was that it was like just 100, almost, it felt super collaborative. And I think that's one thing that just made the band so much, like hands down my best musical experience yet, was that sometimes I'd come in with a pretty much fully written song, or Connor would come in with a fully written song, or Nate would come in with like a pretty fully written song, or it would be like, oh, I have this riff, and then we just jam it for 10 minutes and it turns into a song, or like a song idea, or we have like, oh, this is a, you know, here's a line I kind of want to write around like this idea, we kind of start there or something. And then we also toyed around with the idea of, which I was super repellent to this idea initially, was, oh, we're going to schedule like this band practice, we're just going to write, like we're going to try and start from scratch and write a song kind of thing. And I didn't like that kind of like, because I didn't want to make it feel like forced or make it kind of like almost like a job sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But then like in quarantine, I kind of sat down and I was like, okay, like I'm going to write a song every day. And if I start writing a song, I should finish it because, you know, if I don't like it or not, I can sometimes create something like a piece of it that I'll like and can use later sort of thing. So I was interested to see, do you think that, I guess, genuine art can come from like a scheduled, like I'm going to sit down and write music block? Like if you're just like in your schedule, like, oh, 8 a.m. to 5, I'm working, 5:30 to 6:30, I'm going to write, 7 o'clock's dinner. Do you think that you can create genuine art from like a scheduled like songwriting session like that?
I totally think you can, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think you almost need that in a way. Like, I've heard the metaphor, like, it's you have to work the muscle, the songwriting creative muscle, and I think that's totally true. And I know a lot of songwriters who just have, like, yeah, that 8 a.m. where they have to sit in the chair and write. And I've had phases in my life where I've done that, like a really rigid schedule of writing. I think that's, like, the way to do it. As long as I feel like it's pairing, like, routine and discipline to your writing and balancing that with knowing how to keep an idea fresh to yourself, knowing how to cherish the thing you love. Like, mm-hmm. So if you're going to sit down and write a lot and, you know, I like to just free write where I'll give myself like 30 minutes and just let the paper run, let my pen run. That's it.
Yeah,
and not think too much about it. And usually I'll just let that paper, you know, sit in a trash can or wherever. It's not that important. But then when I have something I really like, to not overwork it, I think. Yeah, I think it can come both ways. but I've heard the quote that the muse is a real thing, but it likes to find you working. Mm. And that resonates with me, I think. That, you know, if you don't put the hours, if you don't schedule the time to write, it might not happen. But I think the best stuff comes when you least expect it. And mm-hmm. I think it's also being disciplined, but also respecting that it's magic and, you know, it will be what it will be.
Yeah. I love that. Because it's like, mm-hmm. inspiration's a thing and it can strike whenever. And then you gotta run with that. Otherwise, you know, it's useless. Mm-hmm. But you were saying like working the muscle and, I'm sure in like singing and practicing instruments and stuff, you have to warm up a little bit before like anything happens. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think we're talking about having a schedule and like setting aside time to do things, and not that everybody has to, but, you gotta keep the kettle hot, you know, mm-hmm. you have to like keep those ideas fresh, and like, you can come back to this and like know what's up. But I am very guilty about like, I'll do this much work on it, and I'll revisit it sometime later. Have you ever worked on a project that you like had it for a very long time, and you're like, I'm gonna finish this bitch, and it ended up being okay?
Yeah. Most of them kind of work that way.
Oh, yeah?
Because I like to create like in albums or in full projects, and I don't really consider a song done until it's like on the album in like its final version. So now I have like 12 songs that are pretty much done, but there's some lines that I'm like, I could change that. I could tweak it around a little bit. And some of the songs are like 3 years old. So they've kind of been a work in progress for a while. And most of my albums, like, it can take like 5 years that a song is pretty much done, and maybe I'd perform it, but it's not like fully done. And the way I get out of that is I'm making an album, and I'm going to hire a producer, or I'm going to like get my band in the studio to start work. Like, I'm going to bring people into the project who like hold me accountable. Mm-hmm. So we like get to that deadline. And that's, you know, what it's like with my project right now. We're like, just had the first session with a band. I set a release date, which is stupid because we're not even done with it. But I'm like, it should come out on my 30th birthday. And it's gonna happen, and the things will be done then, for better or worse. And I like working that way, because I think it only, if you have a, you know, for me, if I have a good song, if there's something that's got something to it, then it doesn't take that much time to finish. But if it's a song that I don't feel strongly about and I can't quite work out, then it'll take a long time, and maybe it never sees the light of day. But yeah.
Well, I love that you can take a spark of idea and just run with it. That's awesome. And I think that's really important for like people who make things to do, is to like find that thing and go.
Yeah. And I like to spend like a lot of time in the planning phase and in the writing and having a nice batch of songs. But yeah, then when like, you know, it's time to get them out, to just get them out. Because boy, it feels so good to like let go of something you've been working on. Like, I'm excited to have this batch of songs done, so then I can, you know, live in other songs. Cause I'm kind of I feel like I'm in this world right now, and it's great, but it'll be fun to finish it and be on a new thing.
On to the next thing. Have any future projects?
Ooh, I don't know.
Or are we just in this world right now?
We're just in this world right now. There's a lot of things. I actually want to start a podcast too.
Hell yeah.
I love the idea. I love podcasts. I'm like, it's going to happen. Yeah. Podcasts. I want to learn how to make lo-fi music, which I think I've told you both about.
Oh.
Your lo-fi project.
Yeah. Lo-fi acoustic. That's going to be one of them. I've always wanted to create a cooking show because I love to cook. Yeah. I love the process, and it feels like it'd be a fun show to make. Those are the main things. The next ones aren't totally music centric, which I'm sure, you know,
that's awesome.
I love it. I love to write, and I'm sure that will be, you know, I'm sure once I finish this album, I'll start writing another one, because that's, I think, what I'm, you know, I get the sense that I'm just here on the earth to just make a bunch of songs and put them out, and but I also want to make some other stuff. So yeah, those are kind of the ideas right now. I filmed a few episodes of The Cooking Show, and it is such a struggle. It's not going well. Really? No. Because I'm not, like, a professional chef. Like, I love to cook and get creative. But I'm like, I don't fully know what I'm doing. And I'm also trying to film and host and edit a cooking show all at the same time. And if they ever make it to the internet, it's going to be a disaster. But hopefully a fun disaster.
Sounds like they should make it to the internet.
I think they will.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
I mean, I feel like that's the angle you need. Like, we don't know how to interview people. We know how to talk to people, so I guess it's half of it. Chatting. But yeah, here we are.
You're doing great. We're just talking. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
All right. Sweet. Well, we're at about an hour here. I guess, Beth, do you have any other questions? I think I have an idea for a closing question.
Let's get that closing question, Patty.
Alrighty, I'm just gonna rip it straight from Beth from last week, because I like it as a closing question. But so Tim, as of right now, what feels like home to you?
Ooh, that's such a great question. Oh man, I want to ask like what the context means, but I'm just gonna be open. What feels home to me? This room I'm in right now, I think. Because yeah, there's a piano, there's a few banjos and guitars, and, I have an interface. I have Logic where I can just create whatever I want to. And boy, I feel so excited that I can just be in here, and I have like as much technology as the goddamn Beatles have just on my like app that I spent $100 on. And this little interface and some microphones that are, you know, not that expensive. But I feel like I can do anything in here. And that is so exciting to me. Yeah, so that's home, I'd say. And my world cat's here, too.
Fingertips.
What's that?
Oh, your world is just at your fingertips, literally.
It's right here, yeah. And my cat's here and my girlfriend's here. And, you know, it's like a tradition. It's a normal answer because it's a room in my house, but yeah, I've never quite like felt so excited that I can, because I haven't had like a dedicated studio to make my things in. And this is the first time for like a stretch of time I just have an area and the time and the space and the ideas to make stuff, and that is so exciting to me.
Yeah. Well, stay creative, bitch. Keep making your shit.
Oh,
hell
yeah.
Speaking of which, we need you to plug your shit, Tim.
Where
can we find this new album? Like, where are you?
Yeah, so I'm everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's just Tim Ostick, TimOstiDiek. That'll be the same at Facebook or Instagram or Spotify or TikTok now. I'm on TikTok, guys.
Hey, me too. I'm about to launch.
Okay, it's kind of fun.
It's whack.
Yeah. Spotify.
Yeah.
And I have, timostick.com is the main place to get it all. So timostick.com, I have everything there, and you can sign up for my mailing list there, because I know you love getting emails. And for this new album called The Lost Days that I'm working on right now, I'm going to launch a Kickstarter campaign for it in April. So keep an eye out for that if you, you know, want to give me money.
Help Tim out. He's a good guy.
Yes, thanks.
Definitely. You'll have to send us the link and we can toss it in there and we can update the episode when it goes live.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'd love that. And that's, yeah. I think that's all.
There's something precious in its design. The way the door shut, but I still can't see through fine.
Thanks for chatting music, chatting, you know, getting a good shop chat. That's not the right word for it, but there's a word for it. I don't remember what it is. Talking shop. That's what I was going for.
It was great. Yeah, thanks so much for having me on. Thanks. You're calling the podcast Talking Shop?
Oh, sorry, damn. I'm just joking. I guess maybe we will. Damn, okay.
Talking Shop. Doc and we'll Shop check. With Patty Melton B. Patty Melton B. I'm trying to come up with the whole thing and it's not working.
No, that's the new one. Thank you. Thank you, Tim.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome. That'll actually be our, I can't remember words now. What is it? A TV show.
Spinoff.
It's a spinoff.
Yeah.